Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We will take verses number 18 to 23 and review a little bit on some of the rest of it. Chapter number 3 in 1 Corinthians, we talked a lot about the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ is a judgment for Christians where they receive rewards. There will be losses and there will be rewards. A lot of times people want to have the rewards here in this life. We want to be rewarded now. We want to be rewarded today. But the rewards don't come today. They come later on. I got a fly right here. It's giving me a little trouble. Long time ago, a well-known preacher, I can't remember his name, he was a Southern Baptist preacher. He had this real famous sermon. He preached probably hundreds of times. His name of it was Payday Someday. There will be a payday someday. Some will lose out on rewards and some will gain rewards. So that's a lot of what is in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. It's not the Christian that will be judged, but his works will be judged. And Paul told us in this chapter number 3, that we should be careful how we build upon the foundation that he has laid for us, or for them, through his preaching and his teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let's pray a little bit. Father, we pray that you'd help us tonight. We pray, Father, that you would keep the interruptions away. We pray, God, that you will capture our attention and help us all, Father, and get something from it. We pray the Spirit of God would help us and be our teacher. Please lead us and guide us into all truth, and please help me. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So he laid a foundation for them through his preaching and teaching, and then they can build upon it, the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know about you, but to me, it's an awesome thing. I think about it all the time. I think about it often. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 14 tells about Jesus. It says his eyes are as a flame of fire. And I don't know about you, but to stand in front of someone who lived a perfect sinless life, who became flesh and bore our sins in his own body on the trees, never had an evil thought, and here I am, you know, standing in front of him, and all of my failures and faults are known to him. That's a scary thing to me, but it is an awesome thing. You know, a lot of people think, well, they don't pay much attention to the judgment seat of Christ. They think, well, surely he will understand. You know, he'll all understand about all of my faults and failures. Well, I wonder, will he? Will he? I mean, if God told us to do something in the Bible, will he understand if we did not do it? He wrote it down for us, and still we did not do it. Our works will be judged, not the Christian. Our stewardship will be judged. Our sacrifice will be judged. Our service will be judged. Our submission will be judged. Our soul winning will be judged. Will we have blood on our hands because of things that we did not do, people that we did not win? Will there be souls in hell that we did not win? Will we have blood on our hands? So our soul winning will be judged. Our assembling will be judged. Whenever people do not come and they do not assemble together, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. People, Christians, are to assemble together. And whenever people do not assemble together, I mean, we got people all the time, they assemble, they skip church, they skip assembling for no reason whatsoever. See, they miss church, and that means whenever people miss church, that means that they did not sing the songs. That means that they probably did not give anything. That means they did not fellowship with anybody. They did not exhort anybody, like the Bible says. They did not read the scriptures. They did not hear the sermon preached. They did not hear the teaching. They did not do any of those things. They were not an example to anyone. There was no conviction that came to their heart and to their soul. Why? Because they were not there. They were doing something else. Something else was more important to them, see. So we will be judged for our soul winning, our stewardship, sacrifice, service, submission, and our assembling and our study of the Word of God. Did we read the letter that God wrote to us? I don't know how big your Bible is. Your Bible's got all, if you got a King James Bible, you got all the same words that I've got. My Bible has 1,270 words, 70 pages, and it's got more words than that. But it's got that many pages in it. 1,230 in the New Testament. It goes to 1,670 up in the Old Testament, see. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Some of it I don't like to read. It's, you know, it's just boring, but I'm supposed to read it. I'm supposed to read it because it was given to me for my admonition. Read the Bible. Did you read the love letter that God wrote for you? Do you know those things, you see? We wouldn't know anything if it were not for the Bible. And so we're going to be judged for those things. Our works will be judged. At that time, whenever we stand before Jesus Christ, there will be no excuses. We can make excuses today. People can use excuses. They use their job. They use their family. They use their finances. They use their lack of faith. They use all of that in order to stay away from the house of God, you see. They use the things that God has given them as an excuse to stay away from the house of God. But there will be no excuses at that time. There will be no foolish talking. We'll not be able to talk our way out of anything because God, Jesus Christ, knows everything. He's going to sit there, and if anybody tries to lie to him, he knows what's going on. He knows what's in our hearts, you see. And there will be rewards. There will be losses, and there will be rewards. Our works will go through the fire. The fire, God will blow the fire of wherever, from his mouth or whatever, over our works, and our works will be judged, and whatever comes out, we'll receive a reward for it if it goes through the fire, see. And so here's a verse I wanted you to look up. Go over to 3 John. 3 John, you got 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, but it's 2 John in verse number 8. 2 John and verse number 8. Let me read it for you. It says this, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." You see, folks, salvation is free, but your rewards are earned. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can lose rewards. I fear that I have lost some rewards, you see. You can't lose salvation, but we can lose other things. He warns us, he tells us, he says, "Be careful that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." So, verse number 18, 19, and 20 in this chapter, or through the end of the chapter there, verse number 18 through 23 there, I want to divide it into two parts, verse 18, 19, 20. Talks about this. Verse number 18 says, "Let no man deceive himself." Verse number 18, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." So he tells us there that "let no man deceive himself" kind of covers those three verses there. And it's not talking about someone else deceiving you, but it's talking about being deceived yourself. You deceive yourself. To be deceived means to mislead the mind. In other words, to believe a lie. People believe all kinds of lies. There's false religions out there that there are millions of people. You know, a lot of people say, well, surely all of those millions of people couldn't be wrong. How many people believe Islam? There are a couple of million people. Are they all wrong? You mean to tell me that 2.8 billion people are wrong? You mean they believe the wrong thing? They believe a lie? Is that right? You mean, how about all the Buddhists? How about all of the other, you know, false religions there? You mean they're all wrong? All of the atheists, all of those who believe in evolution, you mean to tell me they're all wrong? You see, last week, I think it was on Saturday, I was out looking for some kids, and I knocked on this door, and some guy was going in, I think he was, and I just told him real quickly, because he looked like he was in a hurry, I told him where I was from and what we were having a vacation Bible school. And he looked at me and said, oh, well, after thinking about it, I think he might have been joking with me. Surely nobody is this stupid. Because he said, we don't believe in the one God, we believe in the Greek gods. The Greek gods. Now, I don't know what the Greek gods are, but you know, surely nobody can be that stupid, you know. I thought, well, after I thought about it, well, maybe he's just joking. Maybe he's joking with me. People believe cults that have put out all kinds of different ways of salvation other than the Bible, you see. And people believe those things. They believe a lie. Paul says here, let no man deceive himself. Don't be self-deceived. Don't believe a lie. And people do that. God will let people believe a lie if they do not accept his words. If they reject his words, he'll let them believe a lie. He may even put a lie in front of them. Bible tells us a story in 1 Kings chapter number 22 about two kings. One of them is Jehoshaphat and the other is King Ahab. King Ahab was the king of the northern tribes. Jehoshaphat was the king of the southern tribes. And King Ahab, he had a problem. He's going to go to battle with somebody, and he wanted some help. And so he asked King Jehoshaphat, he said, won't you come and help me? Jehoshaphat said, well, sure, I'm just like you are. I'll go and help you. So they got together, and Jehoshaphat, he's a little more spiritual than King Ahab, and he said, why don't we get a word from God here? Have you got any prophets around here? Ahab said, sure, I got 400 of them right here. They're on the payroll. And he asked them, and they all with one, you know, they all together said, sure, go ahead. They all spoke positive words. And they said, go on out, you'll win the battle for sure. Jehoshaphat, he doubted it just a little bit. He said, don't you have anybody else here? Don't you have a prophet of God here? Is there anybody else that we could have? Could we get a second opinion? And King Ahab said, well, I got this one fella, but I got him back here in prison, and I don't like him. I hate him because he never says anything good about me. We're feeding him on bread and water, you know. Jehoshaphat said, well, I'd like to hear what he says. They went back and the prophet's name was Micaiah. And he come out, and make a long story short, he said, look, don't go. He said, if you go and you come back alive, then God has not spoken by me. God has not spoken by me. You see, the thing was that there were 400 prophets there, supposed prophets, preachers, on Ahab's payroll, and they were all wrong, and one man, Micaiah, was right. They went out to battle, and King Ahab was killed in the battle. Yes, a lot of people can be wrong. A lot of people can be deceived. The only way that people can keep from being deceived is to believe the Bible, to accept the Bible, read the whole Bible, every bit of it, and read it and learn what God has said, to keep from being deceived. The Bible says the devil has deceived the whole world. Yes, sir. He's deceived the whole world. And so be careful. God is saying here, Paul says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So you see, God will let people believe a lie. And the Bible is the only way to keep from being deceived. And so if you do it God's way, and you become a fool in the eyes of the world, but you'll be wise in God's eyes. I wanted to show you here about deception. Turn your Bibles, please, over to the right there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 9 through 12. 2 Thessalonians verse 9 through 12. 2 Thessalonians verse 9 through 12. Here's what it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse number 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. People will stand before God and they will have no excuse, you see, but they refuse to believe the truth. And the Bible says they'll go to hell. There's no need for them to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He sent His only begotten Son into this world, but people will go to hell. John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You mean to tell me, can it actually be true that there is actually only one way for over 7 billion people on this earth now, and then a few billion in the past that have lived? There's only one way that anybody can get to heaven. Oprah Winfrey doesn't believe that. She says it can't be that. Just think of all the other millions and millions of people, you see. Yes, it is true, folks. God only made one way of salvation. God only had one son. God only had one son. There has been only one sacrifice upon that will get anybody into heaven, you see. Look here, Islam. What's his name? Allah, the God of Islam. He doesn't have a son. How can these two religions come together? Can they possibly come together when Islam and their prophet Muhammad is paranoid about God having a son? God Almighty has a son, and He sent Him to die on the cross for our sins, one sacrifice for sins forever. Can everybody else be wrong? Yes, they can, and they are all wrong according to the Bible. According to the Bible, they are all wrong, you see. So He says, let him become a fool that he may be wise. In other words, do it God's way. You may be a fool in the eyes of the world, but you'll be wise in God's sight. Verse number 19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. That's verse number 19. The wisdom of this world, that's education. Listen carefully. Education without God. Education without God, like education, evolution, entertainment, the financial world, and all that stuff. It's all that knowledge without God. One famous evangelist of long ago said, education without salvation is damnation, see? I saw one of the atheists, one of the evolutionists' heroes in their celebrities' video, and it said that he had a foundation, and he called it the Foundation for Science and Reason. The Foundation for Science and Reason. I forget the guy's name. But you know those people, those evolutionists, they have their meetings and all that kind of stuff to pump themselves up, and they have speakers, but none of them know where life came from. None of them can speak with any authority on creation. You know why? Because they were not there. They claim there was a big bang that started, but they weren't there. They're just guessing. They're just guessing, you see. They believe in evolution by faith. That's their religion. They cannot produce life, not even in a lab. If you give them a lab and you give them a shovel of dirt and some water, they can't produce life unless the dirt had some bugs in it, you know, or something like that, or the water had something in it. They cannot produce life. You know why? Because life only comes from life. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7 that God formed man of the dust of the ground, and then He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Life for the first man came from God. Life comes from God, and that life was passed on to all of us down to here, you see. And so life only comes from life. Turn in your Bibles back to the left there a little bit to John. The Gospel of John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5 and verse number... John chapter number 5, verse number 25. John 5, 25, here's what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Notice it says, Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. See, God has life in himself. He doesn't need any help. He doesn't need anything from that. God does not need us. We need him. You see, he can get along fine without us. If the world disappeared today, God wouldn't be any less God than he is now. God doesn't need us. We need God to survive. God is life. In him was life. He not only has life in himself, but he gave his Son. He gave life to him when he came down to the earth. Verse number 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now you'll notice there, verse number 25, he's the Son of God. And verse 27, he's the Son of Man. He has two natures. He is God and man. And as the Son of God, he gives life. And as the Son of Man, he executes judgment. He has earned the right to execute judgment because he came as a man and lived a perfect, sinless life. God and man. That's verse number 19, verse number 20. Verse number 20 says this, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Their thoughts are vain. The word vain means of no value. That's their thoughts on wealth, fame, power, and saving the world, and climate change, and population control through abortion. You see, all that stuff is vain. It is of no value. You take some of these people that are rich, and they've got more money than a lot of countries have got. Some people like, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and some guy named Elon Musk or something like that. You know, he's got a car company and all that kind of junk, you know. You know, if you put all their knowledge together, that's the wisdom that he's talking about here, the wisdom of the world. But let me ask you this. What do they know about God? What do they know of eternal life? They don't know anything. You know what they're going to do? They're all atheists. They're all atheists and they're all evolutionists. They're going to live their 70, 80, or 90 years, and they're going to have all kinds of money. They're going to have more money than they can possibly send. You know what they're going to do then? They're going to die. Then they're going to hell. And they're going to spend all eternity in hell. That's what's going to happen to them, you see. That's the wisdom of this world. He said it's vain. It's of no value. Their thoughts. I give you one more point in verse number 21. Now verse number 18 said, let no man deceive himself. And verse number 21 says, therefore let no man glory in men. So let no man deceive himself. Don't be deceived, self-deceived. Don't believe a lie. And here it says, let no man glory in men. To glory, that is to boast. Men have no reason to boast about anything. Paul said this in Galatians 6:14. He said, God forbid that I should glory, boast. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He said, if I'm going to glory or boast in anything, then I'm going to glory in the cross. You see, let no man glory in men. You see, God has given us men for help, for edification. But remember, they're just men. We are nothing. If you go back over here to chapter 3, verse number 5 to 7. Verse number 5 in chapter number 3 says this. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase, see? So we are not to glory or to boast or even to trust in men. We're just planters and we're just waters, but nothing else. It is God who actually gives the increase. God who gives the increase. Verse number 21, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. All things are yours. In other words, God has given us all things in this world that we can use. He's given us men. Notice in verse number 22, he says, neither Paul nor Apollos nor Cephas. He's given us men. There he names three of them, Paul, Apollos, or Cephas. Cephas would be it'd be the Apostle Peter. He said he's given us he's given us all of them. If you don't know who Apollos is, let me quickly show you here. Turn back in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18, I'll read you something about Apollos. Since y'all are all so energetic tonight, you want to learn some new things. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter number 18, look in verse number 24. Acts chapter number 18 and verse number 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, there he is right there, born at Alexandria, which is in Egypt, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, sounds like a really good guy, doesn't he? And he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. That's his problem right there. He's on the other side of the cross. He does not know that Jesus has come and died already, but he knows the Old Testament well. He's an eloquent preacher. But he preaches up to the baptism of John. That's as far as he goes. That's as far as he knows. Knowing only the baptism of John. In verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. See, they've been around Paul and they know the truth. And so they teach him that, look here, you know, you're not going far enough. He's teaching them about the baptism of John, that there is one coming, but maybe he doesn't know that Jesus has come and died on the cross. So he's preaching up that far. And verse number, so Aquila and Priscilla, they taught him the way of God more perfectly. And verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, that'd be where Corinth is. That's where we're at over here in Corinthians. The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. See? So now then, he knows. He knows the truth. There's you some things about Apollos. Apollos is mentioned in this chapter here. In verse number 22, he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, let no man glory in men. In other words, don't think more of men than you ought to. They're just men. They're just men. One time years ago, I was over here at this other church and on 820 West 17th Street, this years ago, and nobody was there. It was during the middle of the week, and some fella came in the back door. And back in the 70s, I used to be the song leader over there for several years. And we had a preacher by the name of, one of them was Brother Shadley. Had several other preachers, but I only remember Brother Shadley very, very well because I worked with him and I knew him well. But anyway, this fella came in the back door and he came down, and he was a guy that used to come to church there years ago when he was a teenager. I had a choir. We had a lot of kids and in the choir, young people, that is. Anyway, this guy I started talking to him, and he married a preacher's daughter, and turned out that he hadn't been to church in 25 years. I said, why not? Well, he told me that something had happened to him, and he'd been mad about it for 25 years. Staying out of church. Here's a man, a preacher, who raised his daughter up to go to church and to love God. This guy married her and been keeping her out of church for the last 25 years, or letting her go to church by herself. And he'd been holding a grudge for the last 25 years. Folks, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Just get over it, whatever it is, see. He claimed that the preacher had done something. I can't remember what it was, and I wouldn't want to know. You see, don't think more of ministers. Ministers here is what they're called here. Don't think more of them than you ought to. Everybody's just men. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're trying to do the will of God. But nobody's perfect, you see. He says here, Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, God has given them to the church to help the church, to edify the church, to be a blessing to the church, and they do. But don't think they're perfect. Nobody's perfect, see. Don't get a burr under your saddle, and I know you folks are not, but like this guy and stay out of church for 25 years. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Why would anybody want to ruin their family? There's people that get mad over some little old something, over $5 or $10 or a few dollars or whatever. They get mad over some little, they get offended. They get offended and they'll keep their family out of church. They've already got troubles. I'll tell you what, folks, I've seen this 100 times. I've been doing this a long time. I've seen it 100 times. I have yet to see anybody that was blessed for leaving the church. Do you know anybody like that? Well, show them to me. You know anybody that's blessed for leaving the church and getting mad? I don't know anybody like that. But I know lots of them who's made a mess of things. They made a mess of things. I won't even tell you where they're at. You might know some of them, you see. They're just men. Just ministers who water and sow, you see. He says here, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's number one. He's given, so God, for all, let me back up a little bit in verse 21. He says, for all things are yours. And then he names them. Well, the men are yours. In other words, to be a blessing to you. Number two, the world. You're supposed to we can use the things in the world. In other words, as we serve God. And you ought to be glad for it. The things are what? You know what he's talking about? All the blessings and the conveniences that we have in the world. I'm going to go home tonight. I've got a bed with clean sheets on it. I got running water in the house. I've got electricity. I've got a car to drive. All these things are blessings in the world that you can use to serve God. I've got a bathroom in the house. I don't have to go to an outhouse outside, see? All these things are blessings in the world that you can use. God gave them to you to not abuse, but to use. See, he says here, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life. Life. Do you ever thank God that you are alive? That God lets you live? That he let you live where you live? He could have let you been born in Nepal on top of a mountain. He could have done that, but he saw fit to let you be born where you are and live where you are, you see. I mean, we're on the backside of the desert here almost, you know. We're on the edge of everything, see. When it rains, we're always on the edge. Except when the wind blows, we get the full blast. But if it's rain, it just kind of skirts around us and we get a little shower. You know, that's the way it goes, you see. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life, God gave you life. God gave you life. He gave you not only physical life, but eternal life. Or things present. Oh, well, I've skipped death. Death. Now, how in the world did he give you death? And how's that supposed to help you? Death, you're going to die. How's that supposed to help you? The only thing I could think of is one thing. Death is supposed to motivate you. Motivate you. You're going to die. You only got one life. Only what's done for Christ will last, you see. So use your time. Use our time wisely, which I haven't always done. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, I suppose those are other things that would motivate us. And verse number 23, and you are Christ and Christ is God. Man, how secure can you get if you are Christ and Christ is God's? Amen. We're finished.